कृपया ध्यान दीजिए, द लैंग्वेज यूज ऑन द पॉडकास्ट मे नॉट बी फिट फॉर कंजम्पशन. वी वॉर्न यू, ट्रेड केयरफुली. बट लिसन यार, डोंट बी सो कंजर्वेटिव.
Yeah, a special show, some great guests. But before we start, we're still here in lockdown land, lockdownistan, lockdown nagar, whatever you want to call it. And I was just debating with my wife, as what else can you do after 20 years of marriage, over this whole alcohol issue. Everybody said that, you know, Indians behave like junglies. Look at the lines, how they, you know, broke all social rules and norms. What do they understand? Once you open the thing, the shops, they went berserk, behave like monkeys. Okay. But have we all forgotten how we behaved when we opened the provision stores back in March 22nd, 23rd? It was exactly the same. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And you're talking about educated Malwa Hill, English-speaking, educated South Bombay types like Amit and me, all, you know, pushing and shoving, trying to get one friggin' cucumber to take home. So at the end of the day, I think this issue was not so much about who we are as people, but the desperation you're feeling. And somehow I feel the government has to learn to, you know, not tell us to clap all the time, but instead perhaps point us in the right direction and make people feel more confident and secure. And then they'll stop, this majburi feeling that, oh, let me stop the alcohol because they'll never open it again, which came true. It's called Cyrus Says, and we're going to meet one of the greats of all time, Kunal Shah. Kunal, welcome to the show.
Cyrus, thank you for having me.
I'm only saying that we want your money. I'm only saying that because of that. There's no other reason. No, I've got your biodata right here. Don't worry.
I was just looking up. I've been a big fan. I grew up with MTV, and I used to love watching Bakra as a show and laughed a lot at all the stuff that you've gotten away saying and not got into trouble for.
Yeah, I think I was telling somebody the other day that Japanese TV came and bought some of our Bakra episodes back in the day. And I thought they would really like me and the concept and all that, but it wasn't that. Through the interpreter, they would ask questions only to do with civic society. Like, how could I dress up as a cop and walk around and nobody stop me? That's what blew their mind, because they have so orderly and disciplined and focused that they couldn't understand how we work. And it was amazing. It was just an amazing thing. But this story is yours, not mine, Kunal. We want to celebrate you for a little while. Let's start right at the beginning, which is before we get into school, college, you know, but I like that as well, because I think the formative years are very important to understand a person. Let's start with the big breakthrough, which was free charge, right? Made it much simpler for everybody to pay their bills and get it over with. And we all know everybody's gone through that terrible line situation that we as Indians don't seem to ever understand in any case. So take us through how that idea came to you.
Sure. Cyrus, in 2008, I was working on a company called as Paisaback, which was a cashback promotions company that we had. And we realized that the biggest problem that retailers had is not converting the customers that came to the store, but actually getting more people to come to the store, right? So just to put things in perspective, in the US, the problem is that once the user comes to the store, there are not enough staff members who can go out and say, sir, ye le lijiye, ye kar lijiye, all that stuff, right? In India, we have tons.
Although they don't
of
speak in Hindi in the US, not yet, but go on.
And the thing is that what we realized is that if we could figure out a way of a mechanic where we could use a large selling product as a way to drive footfalls into other retail formats. So what we did at FreeCharge was very simple. If you recharge your phone on FreeCharge, you got equal value coupons of different retailers like McDonald's, Domino's, Coffee Days, Barista, all of them. And what happens is that a high frequency transaction was converted into a footfall directors for all these other retailers, which worked out really well for the audience that time, because that time only less than 1% of people used to recharge their mobiles online. And for a lot of people who are from South Bombay, they don't understand there is a prepaid mobile as a concept, which is what 99.9% of Indians use, which means they have to recharge their phone every week to use it.
Reverse slap on the face for all the classes. Fair enough. Yeah.
So the thing that happened is that actually I'm from South Bombay as well. I've not used prepaid in my life.
I can tell. Can I just interrupt you, Kunal? You're saying we, but this is your idea entirely.
Yes. But the thing is,
There's a team with you. I understand that. Yeah.
So when the team is building, I think having an idea is the last thing that is going to work to make a startup successful. You just have it to kickstart things.
Hey, man, right? That's your changing all the jargon we grew up on. The idea is key. The idea is 90%. Without the ideas, is nothing. So what are you saying?
I wish I generate like 5 ideas a day. I should be like a multi-billionaire by now if it was that the case. It's execution after that. So what we did is that we grew this from like 0 transactions a day to 1 million transactions a day within like 3-4 years time. And largely word of mouth, right? People were like, oh, रिचार्ज करने पे कुछ ऑफर मिलेगा. एंड इंडिया लव्स ऑफर्स, राइट?
या व्हाट इज दैट अबाउट इंडियंस एंड ऑफर्स?
इट्स लाइक द सूखा पूरी, राइट? पीपल लव हैविंग पानी पूरी के लाइक सूखा पूरी
एक एक्स्ट्रा कुछ तो. करेक्ट करेक्ट.
सो द आईडिया ऑफ वसूली इन दिस कंट्री इज सो स्ट्रांग दैट वी जस्ट लव दैट एक्स्ट्रा किक, राइट? एंड इट ऑलमोस्ट पैसिफाइज अस सेइंग अच्छा कुछ फायदा हो गया, राइट? एंड पीपल हु बाय बीएमडब्ल्यू आल्सो विल बी लाइक अरे एक वाइपर दे दो,
उस तो मड गार्ड दे दो. I know a guy who called me up and said he bought the 7 series, he got 5 liters free.
Correct.
Like 1 crore.
So I think it justifies to us that it's okay to do a big expense, right?
Yeah.
The best thing is what OTAs did, like online travel website. They like, udhar hi coupon code de da, 200 rupees off. And people apply that and they feel good, like, oh, like you don't even go search the code. So I think the need to extract value is deep in Indians and especially in affluent. A lot of people think it's a non-affluent who are deal seekers. Actually, the affluent are the highest amount of deal seekers, and they feel massive pride in doing that. Worked out for us. We managed to become quite a cult in a lot of colleges, a lot of early first jobbers, and it really, really helped us kind of get enough amount of traction. And my view was very simple. Indians will recharge first before they will buy shirts online, and which turned out to be true. I would say 30, 40, 50% of all transactions online every day in India are just mobile recharges.
But soon you started offering them shirts online with the recharge. So I'm sure that all worked out well for everybody. I just want to cut you for a second. Why do you think we Indians have this? Because you use the word Vasulify. I'm thinking, that who has not come up with a Vasulify.com app? It really makes a lot of sense. Why in our DNA do we have this need for that extra? It's just a tokenism in the end, most of the time. You know, one McDonald's burger free or whatever.
I think when we grew up, we all were told to be value conscious, and we tend to do always copy the rituals of value consciousness and not really understand what is value consciousness. So lagta hai kuch, you know, like when we used to go for dhaniya and say thoda extra mirchi de do, right? Like this is training from childhood ke kuch to extra milna chahiye, and then you think that value mil gaya, right? So the extracting little extra, little free is core to us, and I think it probably came from the consciousness, like you have to take something extra. Kuch toh leke aana chahiye.
So you consciously...
You know the Crime Master Gogo in Andaaz Apna Amla? Aaya hoon, kuch toh leke jaunga.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Toh, like
yeah.
There is this deep-rooted thing that kuch toh milna chahiye.
If we're relying on Bollywood to put us in the right marketing circles, I think we're in a little bit of trouble. But I want to ask you this. So you analyze this in your mind. You analyze the fact that you have to give that 1% extra, and that makes the world of a difference.
Yeah, I think it was constant observation, right? Indians like always had this thing of getting a little bit extra. One of the things I saw in FMCG was that every time a product had less 10% extra, one extra sabun free, whatever, the naturally hand goes there and just picks that. Doesn't matter what the product is, right? Uh-huh. So the need. And if you notice that, if you observe grocery stores, you see this behavior constantly. People just put their hand, and it could be anything. Pen de do, a greeting card de do, kuch bhi chipka do, right? The fact that something else is there, we justify to our brain that, this looks like the best deal, just grab it, right? And this need is so deep-rooted, right, that you observe this and you can apply this to many, many principles. But the thing is, a lot of times when we copy ideas from the West, we do not understand the Indian consumer behavior, right? So for me, good fortune was that I did not study abroad. Good fortune was that I did not read any English media or American media before I started in company. I was hardcore Guju, born out of South Bombay, observing Indian consumer behavior so I could build. So FreeCharge was probably the only original internet idea for the longest period of time in India. Everything else was a copy of West.
Right. But no, I think you're not giving it enough credence because I think it was like breakthrough, complete breakthrough, and others have followed obviously after that. But the only thing I keep harping on is I just want to know whether you analyze it as in there was a moment when you saw something, perhaps 5-10 years before that, when you just saw someone reach out with their hand and take that extra thing which came with the soap or whatever. Was there something that triggered it off, or did you, like you?
It's usually not one event. It's observations over long periods of time where it becomes almost like a generalized theory. I love generalizing things and looking for exceptions where it breaks the rules, right? So I like Indians love freebies, right? And then you find a way that, find me a place where they will not want to accept a freebie, right? And even when they're spending a large amount of money, they love getting that little bit extra, right? And I think that thing, you observe that even if they're buying a car or buying a flight ticket or vacation, are kuch extra de do, and then the joy of completing a transaction is there for them, right? Like kuch to mila is a very important thing. And then, I mean, obviously I read enough about consumer psychology after that and consumer behavior, which concluded that it tends to happen a lot in low trust societies, right? So what happens is in a low trust society, everybody's not sure about the pricing and what they're doing. So the fact that they're getting something extra, they feel ki acha, at least the thing is in my favor, right? And everybody loves to throw in this one extra thing last minute to just close the deal. And that just works for Indians all the time.
We're trying to do that on our podcast. We said we'll give them two podcasts for the price of one. Nobody's appreciating it at all. They ask for less. I want to ask you a slightly controversial question, which is, because this is something that I think everyone will think of when they think of entrepreneurs. You call yourself a hardcore Gujarati boy with an entrepreneur. You know, it's in the DNA, etc. and all that, which is fine. But who do you think that if you went to Wharton Business School and, you know, you studied really hard, you have a double MBA, you worked in a, you know, Jardine Fleming or whatever after that, as against a guy like yourself who's self-made and just, you know, so where does it come from? Is it like nature nurture, the question? Would you say that it's a taught thing, or would you say that it's a given thing that's there in your sort of DNA and then you can, you know, take it further with your own entrepreneurial skill?
It's a good question. I think, Saras, what I have observed is that when you grew up in a family that has all business, right, every conversation is just about that, right? I had no summer vacations. I had to go and sit in the shop, right? So, I was laughed at if I could not count money fast enough, right? So the thing is that when you're growing up with this kind of a pressure, where and I remember I was the only guy who did job in my entire extended family, because most people were either doing some business, even if it's small or big, right? The thing that I've learned is that when you study abroad, what you learn is the ability to articulate well, right? I think most Indian businessmen are terrible at articulating what they even do, right? And I think articulation is a great skill that Americans have taught them through the education system. And also one thing that American education system is scaling system, right? How do you make one business become this big or this big? Most Indian businessmen tend to remain SMEs because the scaling mechanics are not taught. And if you think about it, our religion did not scale because it was not standardized, right? If you look at Christianity and Islam, it's fairly standardized. 10 rules, one God, one book, boom, it spreads, right?
Kunal Shah, you're opening up a can of worms. Go on, we need the controversy.
But if you look at like a concept like a Hinduism, like there are millions of gods, probably hundreds of books, and I don't know which 10 rules to follow. And therefore, it's very hard to scale. And a lot of our businesses are always like that. It's all convoluted, confusing. You don't know what the God's book is, no written rules. So it doesn't standardize. So I think one of the things I've learned from American thing is that they know how to super standardize stuff and then scale it.
Hey, man, I think I'm writing down points here. I'm learning. This is my MBA online. So one thing you've taught me already is that Americans are all talk. And we Walkers for the boys are the real business ideas. Okay, great. Fair enough. See, a little later, if you have time, I'm going to go to some of your tweets. Because it's fairly interesting, and I think
that's pretty scary, but sure.
No, man, that's the fun of the whole thing. We can't let that go. But I want to get into cred after that, because you're not a one-horse wonder or a one-song wonder. You immediately moved, which I think is a sign of the entrepreneur also, that, you know, they just can't sit still. You just have to go to the next thing. It's really not about the money. It's more like, I got to do something else.
Yes.
So, take us through. So then how does cred, why cred?
Yeah. Well, so one thing I realized is that when we were done with 3Charge, we moved out. I was spending time advising companies. I invested in probably 50 odd companies. I was with Sequoia Capital and Y Combinator as an advisor. I realized that I needed action. You're right. I could not just sit still. I actually realized that I was so jobless that I used to just bash people on internet. I was like getting aggressive with people on social media and Twitter and everything. And I realized I just need something more action-oriented in life. So I said, I actually need to start. I cannot just be the passive investor. Maybe I can do that after I'm 60 or 70. But at this point of time, I need to do action, because I've been working from the age 15, 16, right? So the thing is that you just need this constant action to work. You cannot just sit and think and process stuff.
You taste success in a big way, in a sense. So you need more. I'm presuming it's like, you know, alcohol. You just can't stop.
Yeah, you stand in the queue again.
For two more bottles.
So the thing that happened is that I realized that global companies were coming to India because India is the DAU factory of the world. What I mean by DAU is daily active users. So foreign companies love to come to India to grow their user numbers, but the ARPU, or revenue per user, is extremely low. So Facebook loves to give free internet to the Indians over here, because when they add to their global numbers, it's 1 billion active users and 1.5 Adapura India, sir, right? So the point is that these customers don't make enough revenue, but there is a huge amount of stuff that we get. And therefore, what happened is that every company started becoming massy, right? But the top 20, 30 million affluent customers who essentially live a very different life in India, they're more similar to the Singaporeans in the next door zip code, pin code that we have in our country, right? Like we are more similar to Singaporeans versus that. So that's a, can we build something for them? Because they are the ones who are paying taxes. They are the ones who are like driving most of the income, right? Oh. And we realize that the reason the government cannot help these guys is that systematically, the votes are going to come from somewhere else, right? Our votes don't count for much. And therefore, nobody's going to really...
Finally, someone is telling the truth. Kunal, start a political party. We are also a lobby. What the f***, yaar? Someone has to call them out. Yeah, go on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
But I think it's a dilemma, right? Like if you are running democracy, you are running a popularity contest.
Yeah.
In some
they are
case,
like Facebook.
Right?
So, they want the numbers. Yeah.
Correct. So the thing is that it's exactly the same thing. They're all for DAUs and government is looking for DAUs. Facebook is looking for DAUs. But the people who are earning, people who are contributing for taxes, people who are creating jobs, their life is not perfect over here. So we thought, can we just focus on that segment and Super. Build for them? Right. And how do we get them? If you remember one thing, Shairas, when first mall opened up Crossroad in Tardeo, they had opened a rule which says that if you can only come if you have credit card, phone or car, you remember that. Right. And they had such massive chaos that initially that people were like, oh, how can you do that or all that? But I think the signaling was interesting that anybody who has cell phone, car and credit card was affluent. Right. Obviously, cell phone became democratized, but credit cards and cars are still not democratized. So it was a good signal to kind of get to affluent. And we said, can we just focus on credit card bill payments as a method to get them? Because only 25 million people seem to have credit cards right now. They need to pay their bills. And nobody has ever incentivized paying a credit card bill. Everybody incentivizes using the credit card. And because we love the Vasuli culture, I'm like, Indians will like it, right? So Indians approximately spend $8 billion a month on credit card. Cred already does bill payment of around $1 billion a month on the platform. So we contribute to a large chunk of the market. And it's like just a one-year-old company, one-year change months. And the reason it has worked this way is because we allow people to manage their cards in one place. So it becomes systematically a great way to organize your cards. Never miss a due date, right? Because we remind you constantly on WhatsApp, notification, all of that. Seamless way of paying. And you get extra points for paying on Cred, which can give you more offers. We do digital events through that, all of that stuff. So it becomes a sort of a club. So think of this as a gated community of 10, 15 million affluent Indians.
And
which
growing.
And growing. So soon we are going to launch something like a notice board where so if you notice that if anybody tries to list a product on OLX or Quikr and try to sell it, they get random calls from scamsters and random people, right? Yeah. But if you can just somehow create a notice board which works only for this particular
that
group.
Pool.
Where, and the thing is about if you can only come to Cred if you have score above 750, right? So credit score above 750 is a great filter for you to be trustworthy, which means you are not likely to engage in non-trustworthy behavior, which creates a very interesting group of high affluent but high trustworthy individuals, right? These are people who are paying their taxes regularly, paying their bills regularly. And when you aggregate them, you can create cooperation between them. So our idea is very simple. Can we reward creditworthy individuals who are also trustworthy and use the credit card bill payment as a hook and build more on top of that?
Yeah, I think it makes absolute sense. You already cornered 1/8 of the market.
Yes.
Already, in a sense. Oh, yes. Wow. Amazing. So does that mean that you've done enough here and you're looking at something else now?
No. It doesn't work that way. I think you have to take something to a logical conclusion. I realize that exiting the company was not the best thing I did last time. It sounded like a cool thing, but I think we all need purpose to keep going. So I have no plans to kind of ever stop this and continue this and maybe do more things along the way, but not like end any of these things.
All right. Before we go into a break, and then after that, I thought we'll go to Twitter. We have our AMAs, all that, so it makes sense. Just a quick bit about your background, bro. Kunal, you said South Bombay boy, family business was a shop. So you had all that going for you. So give us just a vague idea. Was there ever any interest in your head to do something else? Maybe become a lawyer or engineer or the usual suspects of the 90s and 2000s?
Well, unfortunately, family went through massive financial crisis and went bankrupt when I was 14. So all those ideas were just thrown out of the window. Oh. I had to start working from age 15. So I was a data entry operator in a shop, some other shop to make, I remember 800 rupees salary to take care of the house.
Oh, so you worked in somebody else's shop as a pagar because of the screw up in the business?
Because the family went, the business just went bust and had massive financial crisis. But I remember I was supposed to do science. I was 12th grade science, supposed to do some classic engineer doctor thing, and obviously had no money to continue that, tanked on the marks and chose philosophy. So I became a philosophy major, which was the only 7 to 9 a.m. class available to do a job and still do graduation, right? So I should go to Wilson
College, 7 wasted. To 9 a.m. It's not wasted because Twitter is filled with your philosophy. So in a way, you know, paisa vasool, you mentioned vasoolify, you vasoolify. I think we can say
actually,
that.
I realized that in India, arts was considered to be people that dumb people do it, right?
Or losers,
yeah. So the thing is that, but in the US, the humanities and sciences are kind of treated equally, right? Equally. So what I realized is that if you have great professors, you could learn a lot. And these are some very challenging subjects. I just thought that arts was easy, but it was not easy at all. The thing is that a lot of people just discounted it because all the people who went there was the lower marks gentry, right? So the moment I went there, it was really, really enriching for me to learn through that. But I would never show off my BA philosophy. I remember I did an MBA just to be able to remove this BA from my life. So
go slow. So you did a BA philosophy, which honestly, if you don't become a teacher or a writer of sorts, I can't see the just passion, I suppose, for thought. And then you did an MBA.
Yeah, so I joined MBA. I lasted for 2 semesters. I dropped out after that. I think I was.
So you're an MD.
Yeah, MBA. And the reason I dropped out is that I think I realized that the education system was very, very slow. The practicality of MBA was very, very low. Yeah. I remember I was already doing some business by the time I was doing MBA. And I was like, this stuff is not relevant. You're not giving the right examples. And you cannot take the American books and teach Indians. Like many concepts fundamentally are different because the cultures are different, right? Those concepts don't apply over here, right?
Does it apply to marriage? Can I marry an American woman and bring her here? Well, what would you say about
as
that?
As long as you want the citizenship and get rid of and go into better red zone to contamination zone to superior zone.
To Donald Trump not wearing a mask zone. Fair enough. Yeah, sorry. Go on.
No, so the thing is that it was an unusual background. And I think it's not so unusual in the US. There are many, many people like Peter Thiel and the Airbnb guys who have studied design, philosophy, all of that. So in India, I remember I should just hide my BA philosophy. I remember I updated my LinkedIn with BA philosophy after I exited FreeCharge. I was like, "Tab tak hide karo, dikhane ka zarurat nahi hai. Just say graduation."
It's almost sharam ki baat hai in a business world.
Yeah, and I think I realized that. I mean, that brings another philosophy. I think the distance between shame and pride is shorter than the distance between shame and normalcy. It's much easier to convert somebody to feel pride about what they're ashamed of versus making them feel it's normal, right? So No. The thing is, and I think that's what I realized, that you just cannot, you have to convert every shame into pride, and then automatically you can feel normal about it, right? So I said, hey, philosophy, and it almost feels like Jesus Christ over here because everybody is an engineer, right? They don't understand human behavior at all. They are all machine-like over here, in at least the Indian internet entrepreneurship journey.
Correct.
So when you understand human behavior over here, like they think of you as some basic Jesus Christ. But if you go to, let's say, Hindustan Lever, they'll be like, ye kya baat kar rahe? Toh hum subah sham yehi karte hain. Like, why is he, in internet world, you sound like God over here because the rest of the folks are just
different,
understanding machines.
Okay. But I think, again, you're selling yourself short. It all helped, I think, put you in the kind of zone that you were in when you became the real entrepreneur. You know, the BA philosophy came into play, as you said, the whole human side of it or humane side of it, understanding the psychology, thinking in that direction. So it all plays a part. The fact that, you know, the business went bankrupt, I think that must have given you a great hunger. Some people either don't recover and some people go to great things, you know, when you have huge moments in your life. So it's interesting to see all that. I love to see guys who have success stories to see what happened. You know, if you can piece together a few events that really made their lives. And the bad events have to count as well, not just the good ones.
Correct.
So I think let's give BA philosophy its position, which is it plays a role in your brain and heart and gives you more soul maybe as an entrepreneur, which is important.
Absolutely.
We'll take a break before we start sounding like Mother Teresa and sons. That's wrong. I apologize. Just Mother Teresa and friend. And then we'll come back. And we have to talk philosophy. We have to talk about the Twitter. And we'll look at our AMAs as well. Kunal Shah is with us, entrepreneur. If you want your credit card bills paid smoothly, he's the man to go to. He's got almost the whole market. He just wants to finish it off now before the year is out. We'll be back after this break. All right. Welcome back to Cyrus Says. And finally, after a little while, we've got an entrepreneur, one of those super success stories. Young guy. Hey, Kunal, how old are you?
I'm 41.
Just 41 years old. So could have been my younger brother, which means I could retire and just sit at the shop. Did you ever restart that shop, Kunal? The one that
No, I don't think so. We could ever do that. I think the business became irrelevant. It was a pharma distribution business, which became irrelevant as a business.
Pharma is big now with Corona, bro. Let's restart. I'll give you credit. Listen, so what does the family think about you? Because, you know, you then almost like abstract. You're thinking you went into pre-charge and all this.
I think the fact that I did BA philosophy and I was doing these random jobs.
Exactly.
And by the way, when I was doing these random jobs, I remember I used to also sell pirated CDs to make money. I used to sell mehndi cones to this business. I mean, I did almost everything.
Pirated CDs? Because of you? Shah Rukh Khan has lost money because of you, Baba.
I know, man.
Majboori. Kya karu?
But the thing is that for a few years, you have to survive by doing everything that you can.
Were they worried when you were doing your BA philosophy and like selling pirated CDs? They worried about
it? Was a point of time that they just gave up, saying that abhi kuch nahi ho sakta, like whatever is fine. But I think in a way, it is good. I think most Indians remain betas because they remain betas, right? Like they never graduate to becoming independent, right? So the point is that we've never really understood the idea of independence. And I think I was forced into it.
You know what we've done on this show? We've scratched the surface of the entrepreneur, which is there for everyone to see, and we've reached the philosopher. And once you release the philosopher, I suppose he's going to stay for a little while. But I think it's very charming and interesting that you've got these two sides. Can I quote and can you take us through it? So one of your tweets is, unlike a corporate job, there are far fewer places to hide your incompetencies and lack of compounding. So this was about startups. Unlike a corporate job, there are far fewer places to hide your incompetencies and lack of compounding. So meaning the responsibilities are just 100%.
No, I think the startups usually have fewer people. So if five people are working on a startup, it's very easy to know that isko kuch nahi aata hai, right? But in a large company of 5,000 people, if you're doing something, your existence will not matter much because something, the system will keep moving forward, right?
So the accountability factor, basically.
Yeah. And the thing is, compounding is another thing, right? You get, I believe that in the past, people were paid for years of experience, right? But I think in the future, people will be paid for experiences per year, right? And I think that single thing is going to define, in a startup, you are getting scars every day, right? You do not get as many scars in a corporate job. And therefore, the compounding that you get because of that is significantly higher.
Wow. Oof. Will be tough to keep up. This is either going to be one of our big shows and lots of people are going to write back to us and give us feedback, or they're going to put it off forever. The podcast is finished. Okay, listen, bro, you got to take me through this. Pick the professor, not the class. I mean, since the man is more important than the subject, I mean, if I dare challenge you.
I think every subject can be super interesting if there's a person who can trigger an interest, right? Every subject can be quite interesting and you can find connections and dots and everything can be made interesting. But if you don't pick the right person who's going to teach you, right, you will never be interested in anything. And I think the way to become, once you become interested in any subject, you become a learner, right? You know how to learn many, many things. But if you remain a non-learner because of a terrible teacher, you'll never recover from that. I had a great Parsi professor in Wilson College who taught Indian philosophy to me. And I think just the dedication, I remember he used to come to the class 5 a.m. to just draw the board. And the class would start at 7:30 a.m. He's 2:30 a.m. 2.5 hours he's drawing the board on what he's going to teach. And that tells you that this power of this insane power of how to make this work, right? So that was a huge thing for me.
On a very pathetic salary, I would think college salaries in those days would not have been much.
I think it was underpaid. He probably just lived in a good Parsi colony so he could take care of himself. But the point is that it was really, really hard. But the thing is that the joy he had to teach, right, made me so interested in the subject that I wanted to do more. Because he's like, if he's spending 2.5 hours just to teach me for half an hour, I can at least read more 2.5 hours after I've spent time with him.
No, it's amazing because I've grown up with so many Gujarati boys, you know, in the neighborhood, all business families. And I would never imagine any of them doing philosophy. It's amazing. So obviously this guy must have, you know, had some sort of hold on you.
For sure.
So we'll give you that one. Pick the boss, not the company. This is a very, so you're telling me I don't join Apple because I don't like the boss, but I joined some nondescript company because that guy seems to have something about him.
Yeah, I think every time where we are early in the job, right, we tend to optimize for the brand and company kya kar raha hai and all that, because we are always trying to collect logos to get married, right? Ki, achha, ye Apple mein kaam karta hai, shaadi ho jayega, right? The thing is that, but your career trajectory will depend on how good your boss was in the first 5-10 years, right? And if you pick a good boss, the career trajectory is going to be consistently going up. And it compounding works in a very interesting way. If you compound well for the first 5 years, you'll keep compounding a lot more. But people tend to just get lost by collecting logos. I call them the logo collectors. Like, they are just constantly collecting logos in life. But collecting logos does not compound you much as much as collecting right people who will guide you and mentor you to the next stage.
Is our Prime Minister a good boss?
I think he knows how to manage a country of this scale and this thing. Cyrus, a lot of time we make a lot of jokes, but we think is that the average IQ of this country is 72.
Oops. So is that a fact?
Yeah, there are enough studies on that. And China's average IQ is 22 points higher than India.
Oh, my God.
So we tend to just like assume that it's like, why would you talk like a child to people? But the thing is that the top show is Tarak Mehta Ka Ultra Chashma, right? So you have to understand that the leader is taking a shape and form, because I've seen him in private forums who make a lot of sense to the elite as well. The point is that you have to tend to do that. And I think the standard thing
it's like a marketing thing. You have to sell to the audience.
Yeah, you have to adjust to the audience. And I think I have no political opinions. I don't really follow it much. I don't enjoy it. But the thing is that democracy is the process of hiring a popular leader, not the competent leader, right? Like, sometimes you get lucky with competence and popularity together, and that's when the countries project forward. But the thing is that it's always going to be complicated. But Indians love making somebody a god and then doing Visarjan.
Absolutely.
So we are a country of Visarjan, right?
Mr. Shah, you're spot on. You're absolutely spot on.
So no matter who the god is, we'll do Visarjan of them. So every single person will be made big. And then Visarjan will be done. It takes sometimes 2 years, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years. But every single god will be having a Visarjan.
Finally. Oops. The philosopher with the sad ending. But what about Donald Trump? Since we segued for a second, I'll come back to the tweets. How would you rate him as a leader? Considering the economy, at least up till March, was, you know, better than it has been in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think the fact that he is the way he is, and I don't think he's deviated from the character in any circumstance. I think in chaotic times, authoritarian leaders do well because they seem to know what they're talking about, right? And nobody backs people who is right and wrong, people who back people who have a backbone, right? So The existence of backbone makes people feel secure, and therefore the masses tend to kind of look for leaders who seem to have backbones, versus right and wrong is too nuanced for a lot of people.
Correct. And orange hair is important. Also, I think in a crisis, democracy is wasted, isn't it? I mean, you know,
Democracy is a complicated process. If you think about it, like, imagine a CEO of a big factory is retiring and the next CEO has to be hired. Would you vote from the factory worker who the next CEO is? So the thing is that we tend to run countries in this manner, but we don't do this with jobs. So the thing is that in capitalism, can you hire leaders through voting process?
Interesting, sir. This brings me to this one. Pick the investor, not the valuation. Again, when you're trying to start something, it's more about get the money from anywhere. But your point is, no, you have to stick with X and X alone rather than...
The reason you should pick and stick to one good investor early on, because they have managed to get scars of 10, 20 other entrepreneurs, and they have it with them as a surrogate scars, right? And they would be able to guide you, because I've seen all entrepreneurs repeat the same mistakes, right? It's almost like every entrepreneur has the same journey. But if you have a good investor, they are likely to shorten that thing. I mean, like Chanakya said, that life is too short to make all the mistakes on your own, right? So you want somebody who has seen variety of mistakes and guides you that, hey, I've seen this happen over here, this happened over here, and therefore you should avoid it.
So do you quote Chanakya in boardrooms and presentations?
I have a nasty thing of quoting multiple people randomly, but I think people have gotten so used to it that they don't even feel it's a shock value for you. For them, it's not anymore.
And all this comes from that Parsi professor at 5 in the morning making little charts for you and...
I guess that was a trigger, but obviously it did not stop there. He'd taught me Indian philosophy, but then I've gone and read everything that can be read.
Who's the greater philosopher? Who's the greater mind? Aryabhatta or Kautilya Chanakya?
I think the thing that philosophy teaches you is that capture good things from everybody and never compare them.
You put me in my place. Okay, fair enough. Good answer. Okay, which brings us again to pick the character, not the personality. I'm a little confused about this.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we tend to attribute a lot of things to the external persona of people based on what their image is. This guy is very popular, this guy is seen, this guy seems to be very smart. But character is something that is usually not something that changes with times. And I think crisis is a great time. Crisis brings amazing clarity. So you will see characters of people in crisis, right? I tell people that COVID is a great time to observe, like observe everybody's behavior, right? You will see the true characters of your, look at your WhatsApp group. You've seen your character of your entire building. So the thing is that characters are something that usually last longer. Which is like they say in cricket, like the class is like something that lasts forever versus like the form may keep changing thing, yeah. Right? So the thing is, a character allows you to work with people. And if you align with values, the business model may change, your life goals may change, your dreams may change. But character is something that you should write in pen and not in pencil.
Very interesting. We'll do one more before we go to the AMAs. Because I've got this whole moon issue, and me and Amit, who will come back online in about 2 minutes, we've been fighting over it. Despite ridicule, pain, and numerous failures, what drives humanity forward is those few who keep trying to shoot for the moon. To be a dreamer, I presume, is what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I think what happens is that, actually, I'm reading an interesting book called The Range. It talks about how, and I would highly recommend this book, Cyrus, you would love
the
it.
The Range.
It talks about people who have wide range of interests and how their brains are wired very, very differently, right? And I could relate to it in a very interesting way. But it talks about how jazz artists tend to do well, not, and in fact, there's a beautiful quote which says that if you ask a jazz artist that you know how to read music, they'll say not enough to ruin it.
Wow.
And the thing is that what these guys have is an ability to shut down their inhibition. So they did an experiment of putting jazz musicians in an fMRI machine and made them play, compose music in that. And they observed that the parts of brain which cause inhibition or judgment or criticism just shut down.
So they could scat freely.
So the thing is that, yeah, so I think creators, the true creators, do not really give a damn about somebody else's applause or ridicule whatever. They are just on their own, right? And I think everybody should be jazz musicians in life, create. And I think then all this mockery, all this other stuff will matter less because eventually your art will count for it.
Fair enough. I want to be a jazz musician, but I'm not going to blow anything. I promise you right now. Just a quick word, because shoot for the moon, I know you're just using it as a metaphor, but do you believe in the moon landing?
I guess it's enough to make people feel great about science. So I would want to say, just like God, I would want to believe moon landing is true.
Just to keep people happy in a sense, not to rock the boat.
Yeah, it allows people to come together and to a single cause and believe in something.
May I ask this, do you believe in God, Kunal?
I believe in the usefulness of the concept of God. It allows a lot of people to stay non-violent without police, which is only 1% of population. But if we do not have concept of God, we would need probably 20-30% population to become
police. As we can see in COVID, for that matter. Kunal, it's been excellent talking to you. I'm not going to ask you about future ventures and all that. I think this tweet thing, we should do just a separate episode with you because there's so many. And we'll have to go through your entire bibliography because... there are lots of interesting things. I want to thank that Parsi professor. I'm very glad that some Parsi man has played an important role. A catalyst maybe, but you never know what percentile of your great brain has evolved from there. Are you ready to do AMAs with us? We'll call on, I think, Amit and Silvery and Ekta can come on as well.
Let's do it.
So AMAs with the one and only Mr. Kunal Shah, who has been very impressive, I think.
Follow me at Instagram and Twitter on Bored Brochure. I'm so bored, I need your help. I need your love. I need your touch. Okay, just follow me.
Silvery, what have you learned from Kunal today? I'll be taking comprehensive answers from you.
Just great, great points about being an entrepreneur and what he thinks of our great world leaders and all that.
It's a character, not personality that you look for. When you came to work for Amit, you can search for Amit's character. How he treats the watchman. How he uses the toilet.
You can see him pointing. You can see Antariksh looking down and away now at this point in time.
He's disillusioned. But see, I've been saying, I hate to take credit in a way, but you know, I've been saying this from the beginning that we don't appreciate people who have that variety in their mind. variety is such a lovely thing, which I think that's the main source of who he is today. You know, he would have probably still been a great entrepreneur. I think that was there in him, and he may have done well too. But to do it the way he's done it and to think the way he thinks and perhaps how it will affect people working in him, around him, and the culture of Kunal Shah, I think that that's because he has that variety. And many of us Indians don't have that. It's a one-dimensional tunnel vision. We are good at what we do, but we have nothing. We're no jazz musicians.
So the book that he was mentioning, Range, right, by David Epstein, I haven't read the book, but I've heard him on a number of podcasts where he was talking about the book, right? And so he was basically, one of the things he brought up was the contrast between the Federer model of growing up and the Tiger Woods model of growing up, right?
Correct.
Which I thought was really interesting, right? Tiger Woods was singular golf, no interest but golf, only golf, golf, golf.
Yep.
Federer didn't specialize in a sport till he was 16 years old.
Yeah.
Right? That's the point at which he specialized.
But he played almost every sport before that. So
including cricket.
I'll tell you one thing interesting, Cyrus. You think in analogies a lot, right? You take concept and you can say, this is like that and this is like that. And it talks about how people who think in analogies actually expand the scope of knowledge constantly. And it talks about so many scientists who actually solved so many complicated concepts because they could connect it to something completely inane and randomly make these analogies. And I think we tend to laugh and ridicule people who make analogies all the time, right? Like, it could be bolta hai, like, and the thing is, there's a mockery around arey gyan madde, and then we're like, oh, should we supposed to not give gyan because we should just like act like everybody else? And the whole concept of shaming people as a training concept is such a terrible thing because we constantly worry about other people all the time, right? And I think only kids who were growing up with no parents telling them that arey don't, like, uncle kya bolega, they just became wild, right? And I think I studied in a Parsi school, so I knew a lot of Parsi friends, and I think there was a certain thing where there was no shaming as a culture, right? There was no shaming done to them, and therefore I could see a lot more variety in them, and they would just like be more wild about this. And I think in Gujarati families or Marwari families, you're constantly told that, oh, like, you have to be ashamed of this and think about shame, and shaming creates limitation, right? You worry about, like, for example, if I'm randomly reading about, let's say, mannerisms or how did fairness themes come about? Like, in India, like, arey, try karo, ye kuch bhi randomly kya pad rahe ho, right? But the thing is that we systematically kill people by wanting randomness. And I think this book had an interesting quote saying that creativity is very hard to grow day by day, but it's easy to thwart completely in a day's time. So you can just, like, kill creativity in any kid in a single day's time.
And that's what some of our schools have done, Kunal, you know?
Yes.
They've made people think in just one way. And kill that attitude the child may have at that point of just asking questions, looking at things from different perspectives. Just kill it.
You know? Yes.
So you, me and Amit and Silveri have to start our own education chapter.
Dude, I mean, I'm just thinking about it. I don't know what Antrish's degree is for sure, but all three of our BAs, all three of us are BAs, right? Which is kind of unusual in its own way.
But I was going to do law. I finished 2 years, 1 year of law. Yeah. So, you know, that was the way.
Right.
Yeah,
no, but
BA alone was, as he says, the word shame, Kunal keeps mentioning, you can't say BA in the 90s. I don't think I could, my dad would not be able to tell his BA, you know, BA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, so my, whenever anybody would ask me, oh, I have a bachelor's degree in communication from the Pearson School of...
Superb. tells us about your character, not your personality. Okay, Silveri, hit us with the AMAs.
All right. The first one comes in from Janish Suratwala. Mm-hmm. He says, hi, Cyrus, team, and the guest. Big fan of the show and recently started listening regularly. Your Walkeshwar talks make me reminiscent of my stay at Adarsh, opposite White House in Walkeshwar.
Of course.
My question is, in this extended lockdown, do you think the population of India will witness a boom? Thanks, Janish Suratwala.
Because of sexual practice at home.
Yeah, I guess people have a lot more free time.
A friend and guide. Kunal, do you think that there's a baby boom? I doubt.
I think historically, Cyrus, did you see Game of Thrones?
Not really.
Okay, cool. If you see the last episode...
But these two boys have.
Where the last episode where everybody was likely to get killed next morning, in the night, everybody was just having sex, right? So the thing is that when we have a fear of not being there tomorrow, that creates this need to procreate. And I think it might be true, not for just for India, but for the whole world. We might see a spike in birth rate.
So you're saying the girl will say yes, finally. I don't have to wait for them to fall asleep. I think that answers the question. Yeah, possibly. A sense of doom causes you to think with your loins and your genitals. Anybody?
Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't think I have nothing to add to that as an unmarried person.
Well, just one more thing. He's still in Adarsh, which is opposite White House, yeah. Middle of Walkeshwar, actually. Don't have more kids because there's no parking. There is. Please don't get more cars.
No, but he needs to worry about parking after 18 years. It's fine.
But just imagine, we don't want any more cars. If you're willing to walk, that's fine. Walkeshwar. sorry, Kunal, I'm sorry.
Okay.
No problem. Yeah.
Next one comes in from Rishita Dave. We had wished her a couple of weeks back for her birthday, which was on April 14th. Happy belated birthday, Rishita. She says, "Hi, Cyrus, Amit, and Antariksh. I write to you from Goa, which is going into the fourth week of partial lockdown. To give you a brief update, things seem to have gone back to pretty much normal here, with work resuming and alcohol freely available with minor restrictions only. To be honest, I'm sure many private setups like ours, we are an architecture studio," she says. "And so many private setups like ours and otherwise are finding it hard to pull through despite things being well. Mumbai is the worst under lockdown." Her English is a little. "So post lockdown, strangely, Goa has many, many more people on the streets than before. And the beaches are actually more crowded now than they were before the lockdown, even despite this mental heat. It's maddening to see such response in the midst of an ongoing pandemic. Anyway, coming to my question. So the other day at lunch, some of my colleagues were discussing about how so many people are still largely not wearing masks in public places or maintaining social distancing because of the lack of awareness about the pandemic and its spread. They feel the migrant workers, if better educated on the situation, could have actually been detained by the state and helped them earn a living by now that the lockdown is largely being relaxed. Do you think it is a lack of awareness and explicit communication from the government that is solely responsible for this? I find it hard to believe that the fault is all one-sided. If blame is the name of the game, and it's always been the easy way out." Would you like to hear your thoughts? On a side note, thanks again for the birthday.
This is not a question. This is a magazine. This is longer than range. But, I don't know, Kunal, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think because they've not had a major issue, and there's a sense of, there's just, they're free. You know, so you want to take advantage of that situation. And almost like a domino effect where you know, everything, that let's go more to the beach, let's do this, let's do that. So I think that sense of escape that, oh God, we are not Mumbai, we are not Delhi, that's also there amongst the people. I don't know. I can't explain it. We're talking about educated people also who are rushing to all these places. And
I'm not so sure I like the idea that she mentioned this, that, you know, detain the migrant.
That detain word was wrong.
Yeah, I have a little bit of an issue with that.
She didn't mean it in the way we're hearing it. I think she just meant that if we could have persuaded them not to leave or whatever.
Well, I was talking to somebody who is, like, you know, involved in, like, some of this planning stuff and things like that, right? And he was telling me that most people who are looking at this think that the original issue, the major thing was announcing lockdown in, like, you know, in such a short period of time. At that point in time, when you announced it, you should have allowed people to kind of start going where they wanted to go.
Hindsight is 2020. Huh?
Yeah, it is 2020. But I mean, like, yeah, actually, it was that hindsight was, like, visible, like, you know, within days of announcing this, right? That this was probably not the right way to do it.
It was an error. I don't think that any malice involved in this thinking.
No malice. No, everybody's trying their best in an unprecedented situation.
We all forgot about those who have to go back to another place. It just didn't strike.
So I think that was, that I think is one of the major this, right?
But, Amit, don't take pressure. We have with us a friend, a philosopher, and a guide. That order.
I just have one view, that whenever facts are few, experts are many. So we are having this world with unlimited experts on this topic. So I will not be an expert on this. I know one thing for a fact, that the effort to contain things may work as long as we truly understand what we are doing and how are we doing it. If we think it's government's responsibility to contain a virus, there is no way it's going to get contained.
How can they police the places, 24 hours? Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And not just that. I think we are forgetting that all the places that are safe are safe till you can create transportation and make people travel to these places, right? Domestic travel is opening up. You can't just keep quarantining people all the time that they're moving from one point to another point. And the question is that, can we really stop it? Can we really stop it? And I think very soon, I think entire humanity is going to say, chalo, theek hai yaar, kuch nahi hoga. Because I recently conducted a poll on Twitter where I asked that, is there any friend or family member who's got a COVID? And 12% said yes. And I said, is there a friend or family member who lost their job? And 60% said yes. Right? So the thing is that we are already reaching a point.
That's got higher than the...
Yeah, the thing is that we will soon have to accept that it is not in our control. We have to face it. And the question is when? The problem is, this is a unique time where it's affecting above 60-year-olds the most, which means the majority of the global leaders are above 60. So the it's like the, you know, when moms are feeling cold, they make the son wear the sweater saying that tum pehno, right? I think we are going to have the situation where all the global leaders are above 60, and therefore the reactions are likely to be more personally biased versus what is really going to help the country.
No, didn't think of it that way. Nice spin again. But Kunal, that's amazing. So I've been saying this again, I don't take credit. So we've got to get on with life, right? Just a quick word about COVID. You have to get on with life. There's no way we can plug all the holes and keep everybody safe. We just have to move forward and take the losses.
I don't think we have a choice, Cyrus. I don't think it's an option. I think that seems to be the only thing, because the virus seems to be very efficient and spreading. We've already hearing cases of people who are in lockdown are getting it, right? So the thing is that it's going to get there. The point is that, can we afford the losses? When do we afford the losses? And I'm reaching a point where I'm thinking that while it may seem like what we're doing is effective, it's only going to delay the outcome versus exactly. Stop it. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the shifting goalpost that came up, right? I mean, like, essentially lockdown or any of these orders were dealt with, were given with the idea of increased capacity, push it down, make it so that we're better prepared. That was the idea behind this. And now the goalpost is all of a sudden, okay, wait till it goes away, wait till we have negative growth. And that's a shifting goalpost. It can't get there.
We can't be prepared for this country. Like, we have 1.3 billion people, right? So the thing is that to be prepared for this is not possible, right? The only thing we can say is stay at home, rest up, and kind of recover from that. And most people will recover. The median age of this country is 26, 27. Mm-hmm. We are going to be better off than many other countries, which are a median age of 40, 50, right? So the point is that we have to accept it. We have to address it. Now the thing is, I'm not saying that it's going to magically become better. I think government is doing everything what they understand and doing better on that. But the point is that it is such a complicated equation. The economy, the migrants, there is so much of pain that is going to come from lack of income. See, economy is like this bicycle running in fast speed. You can't just pause it. It will fall badly. You will be injured. You can't suddenly get it back to speed suddenly, right?
So well, I'm getting visions of Navjot Singh Sidhu, except, I mean, you're fantastic. It just goes all over the place. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. Bicycle crash. We're heading for a crash. The world is heading for a crash.
Yeah, and you can't recover from that very quickly. And I think most people are like becoming conservative about their spend. Like, are yaar nahi chahiye. And we don't realize that most of our jobs exist because of non-essential spends of everybody, right? If you remain on essentials, the population will not, 80% of population will not have any jobs.
Only pharma will survive. Yeah.
Farmers and pharma.
Farmers is a false dawn, man. For 70 years, they've been shouting, kisano, kisano, desh ki dharti, and they're just killing themselves every year. That's a story for another day. But I think we can put in one more question, Silvery.
Yeah, sure. This one is a listicle kind of a question. He says, hi, Cyrus, Antariksh, Amit, sound engineer, person editing this podcast, and guest. Since you were doing birthday wishes, mine is on 8th of June. And I believe we will spend it under lockdown.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. I have a list of stuff for your ranking. So he has two lists. One is non-alcoholic beverages, one list, and alcoholic beverages, another list.
Nice.
So he goes, rank these non-alcoholic beverages in order of your preference. Coffee, masala tea, orange juice, buttermilk, kale juice, and protein shake. So again, nobody's interested in these.
I'm just thinking. Coffee number one, everything else number two.
Yeah.
Okay. Tea versus coffee. Everyone here?
I don't drink either.
You don't drink either.
Same here. Don't drink either of them.
I'm a coffee.
Actually, okay. I only like orange juice in that whole list.
Yeah. Actually, I like oranges too.
Same here. Only orange juice. Rest can go.
Yeah, coffee and orange juice.
You've made a fightsome test.
Well, Cyrus, you drink your lassi. Didn't he mention buttermilk?
Yeah, but lassi, I think, but that's sweet. Buttermilk.
Yeah. This is chas.
It's
different from the taste.
Yeah, chas is not good. Yeah.
So I normally prefer tea, except for when we're at the office at IBM, which hasn't been for a while, because the IBM coffee is just fantastic. Yeah. I really miss it.
I thought generally tea drinkers, they're like dogs and cat lovers. You either like tea or you like coffee. You don't really like both in a secular way.
Yeah,
I'm not a big tea fan. I like iced tea every now and then, but no, I'm a coffee guy. Yeah.
But I see you don't mean that fabulous rap artist come actor who has donned the screen for American television for the last
No, I don't mean him. I don't mean him. I mean like iced tea.
Iced tea. So Kunal, only orange juice for you, OJ?
Orange juice for me, and random fact is that most people love drinking coffee socially because it's considered to be more elite. When they're alone, they're probably likely to have tea. So socially, it becomes a very powerful thing to just have coffee.
Peeling of the hypocrisy. Ajay, what were the five?
Next is alcoholic beverages. Gin, vodka, tequila, rum, dark rum, whiskey, cognac, red wine, white wine, sparkling wine, beer.
So basically, just pick your favorite five.
Just pick your favorite, I guess.
You know, we drink all five.
I drink. I don't have a preference though, so I'm probably just gonna say whatever is socially acceptable. I say, what are you having? Is my standard answer.
Okay.
Okay.
So for me, gin number one, beer number two.
Gin number one.
Yeah,
it's
I like gin.
For an Indian male, yeah.
I like gin. Gin is good. Dude, gin tastes good, man. And there's some really, really good gins out there. Oh. So, I mean, I really enjoy gin.
Have you picked up gin recently, or have you always been a gin fan?
I picked it up over the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, so you are a trend catcher. Gin is the next
I think I am.
Everybody.
Yes, it is. Right. Basically, you started going out to more and more places. You go to Bombay. You go to Bombay Canteen, right? They have this full gin cocktail menu, and so you start drinking some of those things, and then you start finding out more and more.
It's a fairly hipster drink right now.
It is a fairly hipster drink.
So Kunal's point is, it's more about, it's just not so much about the taste. It's more about the whole package that comes with it.
No, but you know what's really interesting about gin is one thing where I can actually tell the difference between tastes of different types of alcohol, right? When you get into whiskey, I mean, like, you know, I can tell this is scotch and this is like mash and like, you know, that much. But all of them more or less taste the same to me. Whereas with gin, there's like a legit difference in terms of what they taste like. Some are made with cloves. Some are made with like star anise. They're made with like these different kinds of spices.
May I just say that I'm at an age where instead of gin, I need ginseng. Which is totally different. Yeah. Okay, go on. So after gin?
Gin, beer.
Okay.
Whiskey, I guess, every now and then. Yeah. Can't drink vodka because of numerous really, really bad college experiences. Once something comes up the wrong way, it's very difficult to drink it the right way again. Vodka. I think that's a gin, beer, whiskey.
You know, into wine, Amit?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
Wine?
No.
Kunal, are you into wine?
Like I said, I'm into what the other person is drinking. For me, drinking is social. So.
But you can drink anything.
I just mirror everything. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty. For me, I think beer would be number one, but I don't drink anymore. But definitely miss a light beer. Then I go with vodka, which was our staple drink. It was back in the theater, more women than men. So they would drink to save money. Vodka would be, you know, that's the way it turned out. I didn't have a choice. Then dark rum, but it started giving me throat issues, so I went off it.
And are you an Old Monk fan? Were you an Old Monk fan?
Old Monk, Zindabad. I'm a cheapo. Tell me, don't ask me. When I was cheap, I would, you know, I was the only person drinking, what is that, cheap vodka? Alcazar. Right through the time I stopped in 2015, the only bottle in Bombay Gym was mine. Because they had all moved to Smirnoff and the various things. And it was like glass. I mean, it's just terrible. What do you do? It's like a spouse or a girlfriend or whatever. After some time, they just look good, you know. Sorry, I'm a bit of a philosopher, Kunal. Coming in. This has been a great. I mean, we must have him back.
Yes, of course, for sure.
He's fun, yeah.
Yeah, of course, we must. Yeah. We must.
Kunal, when you have the time, especially now that you're stuck here, try to make your next plan, your next big thing. Just come on online with us. I think we'll have some.
We'll do that. This has been fun.
Great hearing from you. All right, guys. Keep it strong. Lockdown will continue. See you in August. All right. Bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
Okay, catch us on any of the podcasting apps, please. We beg you. We need you. Send us your questions on Twitter on Cyrus Says In. Or you can email us, even if you're not female, on whatcyrussays@gmail.com.